Though in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Oh, from the grave he rose. Oh, from the grave he rose. Death came. Pray, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Oh, from the grave he rose with a triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah.
Heart will sing of the King who forgave me, left heaven's throne and he suffered to save me. He rolled away the stone, rose up from the grave. Worthy is the name Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. My heart will sing of the King who forgave me, left heaven's throne and he suffered to save me. Rolled away his blame, rose up from the grave. Worthy is the name Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. My heart will sing of the King who forgave me, left heaven's throne and he suffered the same. He rolled the stone away, rose up from the grave. Worthy is the name Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, he's alive.
Well, let's all stand together and let's sing Happy Easter, He Risen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was
lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing it,
hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcome me. Sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. Testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. Oh, it really is amazing grace. Sing it. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved.
Together testify, all things shall be made right. Amen. The lost shall be restored, the grave shall be no more, and all the church will roar. Amen. Prepare the way, the King is coming. Enthroned on praise, the King is coming. The last, the first, the living Word in glory shall return. Oh, we prepare. with hearts like lamps that burn as light upon the earth. We wait for his return. Amen. No fear of what's to come. Our hope set in the one who said that it is done. Amen. Oh, prepare the way, the King is coming. Enthroned on praise, the King is coming. Trumpets soon shall sound. He'll ride upon the clouds, and every knee will bow. Amen. Oh, the honor and the fame, the glory, power, and praise, oh, be unto Jesus' name.
Can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. I have a King, oh, with dominion over death. He holds the keys, yeah. In his holy nail-scarred hands, he is the healer, yeah. That has crushed the serpent's head. Our resurrecting great I am.
Oh, every time I call your name, yeah.
Come on, we proclaim this truth together.
Where, oh, death is now your sting, and where, oh, grave, your victory. Come on now, where.
Amen, amen. He is risen. We serve a risen Christ. Amen. You may be seated, and if you would, turn your attention towards the screens.
Happy Easter, everyone. I'm Pastor Austin, and welcome to Cornerstone Chapel. Here, our mission is simple, making Him known. Whether you join us in person or online, our services are filled with powerful worship music and biblical teaching that you can apply to your everyday life. We meet on Sundays for three identical services at 8:15, 10, and 12 noon, and again on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. We have something for everyone in the family. Our children's ministry welcomes children from birth to grade 5, and we also have opportunities for middle school, high school, and young adults ages 18 to 29. These generational ministries meet weekly to learn more about Jesus, make new friends, and have a ton of fun. Cornerstone is also thrilled to offer a special needs ministry, which offers support to enable those with special needs to attend church. Our men's and women's ministries seek to keep the men and women of our church engaged, encouraged, and loved. Both ministries meet regularly throughout the year for Bible studies and events. Our Koinonia groups, or K groups, exist to make our big church feel small by studying God's Word, spending time with friends, and experiencing the love and support that comes from having a close community of faith. But it doesn't stop there. Through food drives, disaster relief, and our annual harvest party, our U.S. outreach team comes alongside our community to express the love of Jesus. We are also committed to taking the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. We partner with over 25 global missionaries and organizations and take mission trips every single year to countries like Guatemala, Honduras, Hungary, and Uganda. So if you have any questions about our church or our mission or how we operate, please visit our website, cornerstonechapel.net, where you can check out our social media pages like YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Listen, we are so glad you joined us today. We hope that no matter where you've come from or what you've been through, that you experience the love of Jesus as we study His Word and worship His name. He is risen.
When the King speaks a word, it cannot be overturned. It's as good as done. And when heaven touches earth, it can never be reversed. It's the kingdom come. So get the liars out the way. They don't have the final say. There is only one. Sovereign and supreme. Every word who speaks is holy. The Lamb of God has overcome. My testimony is his blood. And if he said that it is done, it is done. So be it, God. To the one on the throne who cannot be overthrown, sing hallelujah. To the last and the first ruler of the universe, sing hallelujah. To the Alpha Omega, the Master, the Maker, the name of overcome. My testimony is his blood. And if he said that it is done, it is done. So be it, God. The weapons of the enemy, they have no power over me. The one with all authority covers me. So be it, God. From a throne to a cross, who would pay such a price for the sin of the world? He's your King crucified. See the nails in his hands, see the wounds in his side, see the crown meant to mock, that instead prophesied that it was not the end. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Don't forget that he said on the third.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, good news, everybody. Guess what? Jesus is alive, everybody. We serve a risen Lord. Praise his name. Thank you for being here. God bless you for being here. All our online viewers as well. And we have some people in overflow who weren't able to get into the sanctuary. So let's give a word of greeting to those in the cafe. Hello, cafe people. Where is cafe people? Do we have cafe people? There's cafe people. Hello, cafe people. And then also some in the chapel, too. We want to say hi to those who are in the chapel. So God bless you guys in the chapel. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, even though it's rainy outside, right? We have gathered here in the house of the Lord with thousands of people around the world declaring one truth. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and we praise his name. Now, just a couple of quick housekeeping items. If you would, please check your cell phones. Make sure that they are on silent or vibrate. They've been going off in every service. And now I've told you, so if yours goes off, I'm pointing you out. That's what I'm going to do. And then also, we want you to know we have children's ministry up through third grade. If you want to take that as an option for your children, it's just down the hall in the ministry wing for children's ministry up through third grade. You know, whether you're here to investigate the claims of Christ or whether you are here to celebrate who Christ is, we are so glad that you are here. Jesus came to save us from our sins. This is what Easter is all about. When Jesus walked the earth, he spent his entire earthly life in Israel. He was born in an obscure village called Bethlehem. He was raised in the tiny town of Nazareth. He spent most of his adult life teaching and doing miracles and proving that he was the Son of God around the coast of the Sea of Galilee. But then he would be betrayed. He would be falsely accused and tried. He would then be crucified in Jerusalem. He would be buried in a nearby tomb. But 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. And 40 days later, he would ascend into heaven. And any day now, he's coming again. And his name is Jesus Christ. When an angel stood outside the empty tomb of Jesus, he said this to those who had come looking for him: "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said." 60 years ago, in March of 1966, John Lennon, the founding member of the Beatles — how many of you remember the Beatles? Okay, they got some pretty cool music. Man, a lot of you don't raise your hand. You don't know what you're missing. Google it. You'll love the Beatles. But John Lennon said a few crazy things. And one of the crazy things he said was in an interview with a London newspaper, in which he said this, and I quote, "Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. We're more popular than Jesus now." Well, I have news for John Lennon, if you could hear me. You're dead. Jesus is alive. And Christianity is stronger than ever before. Well, I'm going to share the Easter story here from John's Gospel, chapter 20. This is John 20, verses 1 to 18. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first." Okay, now look, this is John's gospel. John was the writer. He's talking about himself. He wants everybody to know he can run faster than Peter. Okay, thank you, John. We get it. "And he," that's John, "stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first," he has to repeat it, thank you, "went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes." But now listen to this. "But Mary Magdalene stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, and notice this, he just calls out her name. He just says, "Mary, Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni." Now, Rabboni is a more intense form of rabbi. It means my great teacher, my great master. She recognizes him now. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Let's pause and have a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you that we can gather here in your house along with tens of thousands of others around the world, meeting in churches, proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth, dying on a cross, rising from the dead to save us from our sins. And I pray that whoever doesn't know you today would come into a personal relationship with you, Jesus. That before they leave this service today, if they don't know you, that they might trust you as Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Jesus, for loving us and dying for us. And it's in your name that we pray these things, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I heard the story about this couple in their 60s. In fact, it was the husband's 65th birthday. And they were walking along the beach, and they came across a bottle, and they opened up the bottle, and out came a genie. I'm sure it's a true story. Go with me. And the genie said to the husband and wife, "I'll give you each one wish." And so the wife went first, and she said, "Well, you know, I just love my husband. It's his 65th birthday, and so my wish is that the two of us would just be alone on a deserted island somewhere, no one else, just the two of us." And poof, immediately, they are on this beautiful tropical island in the middle of the South Seas, palm trees and coconuts and crystal blue water. And then the genie turned to the husband and said, "All right, birthday boy, it's your 65th birthday. What's your wish?" And he looked around at the beautiful setting, the palm trees and the crystal blue water. He said, "My wish is for my wife to be 30 years younger." And poof, he became 95. So things don't always turn out the way you hope. That is true about life. That is true about the followers of Jesus in the first Easter story. Because see, when Jesus was hanging on that cross dying, it was not what the disciples expected. They had hoped that Jesus would usher in a messianic kingdom. They had hoped that he would overthrow the Roman oppression of Israel and the Jewish people would be free and Messiah would rule and reign from earth. That's what they were wanting. That's what they were believing and hoping. They knew that Jesus had fulfilled the many Jewish prophecies in their own scriptures about the Messiah. And yet now they're seeing him hanging on a cross, dying. And in some ways, their hopes died with him. Now, I also have wondered when I read this story over and over the years, why it is that the disciples were not more aware of what was happening, seeing as how Jesus had told them several times in advance, "Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. And then 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead." If you count them up, it is no less than 10 times through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus tells them those things very specifically. In fact, I'll give you an example. This is out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 17 to 19. It says, "Now, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them," so like picture this, Jesus is like, "Come on, boys, and huddle up, I got something important to tell you." He pulls them off on the side of the road, and he says to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. Okay, how much clearer can it get than that, right? So Jesus spells it out. Like, guys, just know, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. So you would think that on day three, those disciples would have been at the tomb going, all right, it's showtime. He told us 3 days. L'chaim, you know, there's going to be, he's coming out of the grave or something. We know he's going to rise from the dead. But instead, like, where were these guys? They were nowhere to be found. They were back in their homes eating marshmallow peeps and throwing back soy lattes. Now, I make a joke about it, but the truth is I would have been no better, and neither would you. None of us should think of ourselves as, oh, we would be more spiritually attuned than those knuckleheads, and we would have been there at the tomb. It's because we know how the story works. We see it. We see the whole story. But none of us would have been any better than those apostles. And the only reason that we can explain why they weren't prepared for his resurrection, even though he had told them over and over again, is for really one of two reasons or a combination of two. It was either grief or unbelief. They were either in such grief that Jesus had died that they had lost hope and perspective and forgotten what he had said, or they just simply couldn't believe this amazing thing, the idea of Jesus rising from the dead, and it was too incredulous to them. Now, good news is they would all come to believe within the week. The last straggler was Thomas, but they would all eventually believe within the week after they had seen the risen Lord. And for that reason, Jesus in John 20, verse 29, he commends them, but he says this, he says, you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are those who have believed and yet have not seen. And Jesus was talking about like us, like anyone past being an eyewitness of the actual events of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus says there's a blessing for you because you're going to have to exercise faith to believe this because you weren't there to see it. If you believe, blessed are you for having believed and yet have not seen as an eyewitness. So there's a blessing for us who believe. Now, you know the saying, seeing is believing. This is the only story about which you could really say, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Some of you might be familiar with the name Dr. Frank Turek. Frank Turek has been here to Cornerstone a couple years ago. In fact, he and I and Erwin Lutzer in the summer of 27 were leading a teaching cruise in Alaska. You can jump onto that. That's not the point of this story. But Dr. Turek is what you call a Christian apologist. And a Christian apologist is one who reasons with people about the truth and reliability of the Bible, and he defends the Christian faith using logic and truth. And Dr. Turek travels around primarily college campuses, and he engages college students in conversations about Christianity, the Bible, and Jesus. You might also remember, if you know his name, that he was a very close friend of Charlie Kirk's. In fact, Frank Turek was standing about 20 feet away from Charlie when Charlie was assassinated at Utah Valley University. Well, last week, Frank went back to Utah Valley University the first time since Charlie was assassinated. And he went there to do what he does, to engage college students in the truth of the Bible and Jesus and the claims of Christianity. And he streamed that event live, and I personally caught on to the tail end of that live stream in time to watch the last couple of people ask questions. And this one young guy, this college student, stepped up to the microphone to ask Dr. Turek a question. He was wearing a kippah. He was Jewish. That's really kind of irrelevant to the story other than to say that he represents probably countless people who were skeptics. And he walked up to the microphone and he asked a question, and I actually wrote it down because I want to quote it exactly. He said this. He said, Jesus, okay, you know what? Great, he existed. You know what? Great, he did miracles. Great, he even rose from the dead. But then he asked, but what should that matter for me? What should that matter for me? Now, at first, I was amazed that he had conceded some things about Jesus, that he believed that Jesus lived, did miracles, died, and rose again. But the longer I listened to him interact with Dr. Jurek and ask follow-up questions and make certain statements, what I realized that he was actually saying was this: suppose those things are true, great. I'll give that to you. But I still don't understand, what should this matter for me? And it got me to thinking about how there are probably many, not just college students, but many young people, many adults, many people seasoned in life, all kinds of people, all spectrums of life, all ages of life, who wonder the same thing. You might even be here today, and maybe you would concede some things about Jesus. You might even think, okay, I believe he existed. I heard he was a great teacher. I heard he did some miracles. You might even go so far as to say, and I believe he died and rose again. But you still might be haunted by the question that this college student was: what should it matter for me? So I want to offer to you four reasons why this should matter to you. The first reason is because it means that God loves you. It means that God loves you. Now, I know that phrase is thrown around a lot. It's almost become so overused, it's cliche. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But it is true. It is true. God adores you. He adores you so much, he laid down his life for you. Do you understand this? Jesus didn't just say it, he did it. In John 15, 13, he said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He laid his life down for the ones that he loved. You would do the same for family members and friends that you really love. You would die for them, wouldn't you? And Jesus surveys the landscape of humanity and he says, I will die for the sake of the whole world. That's how much he loves us. And think about it. When he was stretched out on a cross, does not even his physical posture kind of symbolize how much God loves you? How much does God love you? This much. This much. It's like open arms, his love for people, with open arms to receive people because he loves people. Look, I know some of you might think to yourself, well, I've said a lot of bad things, done a lot of bad things, gone to a lot of bad places. I got some secret sin in my own heart that if anybody ever knew about, I'd be totally ashamed. I don't think God could love me. And you know the truth is, God doesn't love our sin, but he loves sinners. When Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he wasn't saying, for God only loves people who have gotten their act together and are really deserving of his love. No, he's saying God so loved the world. He's talking about every sinful human being. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's the love of God that he's demonstrated on the cross. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Billy Graham once said this, quote, he said, God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. I love you. So that's one reason why this story matters. Number one, because God loves you. Number two, because God can forgive you. Now, you may not understand that one unless you first understand the human condition. Too many people in the world philosophically have said, we're all basically good people. There are a few bad apples, you know, the axe murderers. Like, do you know any axe murderers? But otherwise, human nature is basically good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all bad. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, it says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It means none of us measures up to the perfect standard of God. In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful and wicked beyond all things. Who can know it? It's a rhetorical question. It means we can't even know our own heart sometimes. Now, God knows, but we can't even know our own depravity sometimes. Let me ask you a question. No show of hands, okay? I'd have to raise my hand on this. Have you ever said something or done something that startled yourself? you couldn't believe came out of your mouth. You couldn't believe you did it. You had such regret. You're like, that's not me. I cannot even believe I did that or I said that or I thought that. That's because we don't even know our hearts. And sometimes stuff bubbles out and we're like, wow, where did that come from? It comes from a heart we can't even understand. It's that wicked. It's that evil. And we have to understand how wicked and evil our heart is, how sinful we are, in order to understand the gift of forgiveness. We can sin in multiple ways. You can sin with your mouth by what you say. You can sin with your eyes by what you decide to look at. You can sin with your hands by what you do. You can sin with your heart by what you think or imagine. Thoughts of jealousy, lust, pride, for example. The Bible says there are sins of commission, meaning we commit sins, we do things that are offensive to God. There are also sins of omission. Those are the things that we should do, but we don't do, and because we don't do it, that's sin. And so we're sinful people. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died to forgive every sin imaginable. Every sinful thing you've ever thought, done, or said, Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to God, okay, you don't have to go through another human being. I love my Catholic friends, but don't tell me your sins. I don't want to hear them. I have my own, okay? You can go directly to God. Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for you. If we confess our sins, meaning if we agree with God about my sinful condition, if we confess our sins, listen, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a forgiving God. Now, if you are honest with yourself, you would agree with me that there are things that you need forgiveness about. If you were really honest, you would know there's some things I've done I need forgiveness about. Most people understand the need for forgiveness. I'll illustrate it with this story. In 1936, Ernest Hemingway wrote a short story called The Capital of the World. And the story was set in Madrid, Spain. And it was about a broken relationship between a father and a son. The son's name was Paco. It's a very common Spanish name. And as Hemingway wrote the story, he said, things got so bad between father and son that one day when Paco was old enough, he just ran away from home. And the father was so heartbroken and wanted to restore this relationship with his son that he wanted to get in contact with him. Now, how do you do that in 1936? There's no cell phones, there's no GPS tracking on your kid's iPhone, right? So how are you going to do that? Well, Hemingway in the story says that the dad took out a newspaper ad in the local paper of Madrid, hoping that his son would read the ad. And here's what he wrote in the ad. Dear Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon tomorrow. All is forgiven. Love, Papa. And Hemingway writes in the story that the next day at Hotel Montana at 12 noon, 800 Pacos had shown up to be forgiven. Because there's a thing in every one of us that we realize, I've done some dirty things, I need to be forgiven. And the reality is that we've all sinned against our Father in heaven. And we all need his forgiveness. And he calls us to come freely to be forgiven. So this matters because God loves you. Number two, God can forgive you. Number three, God can save you. Now you might wonder, what does that mean? What do I need saving from? And the truth is, we are all on a path of destruction without the Lord. Just default human nature, we are all on a path of destruction. Jesus even told us this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. He says many. There's many people on this road that leads to destruction. Why? Because sin kills, but Jesus saves. That's why Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all lost without him, and we need a savior. We need saving before it's too late. Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy 1:15, he would write, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul adds. I like that part. Because he's saying, look, I'm not concerned about anybody else's sin, just my own. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm the worst sinner. And that should be true of all of us. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the worst sinner. We should all see our need for the Savior. But Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins. Christ Jesus came into the world. Listen to me. Muhammad cannot save you. Gautama Buddha cannot save you. Confucius cannot save you. Gandhi cannot save you. Joseph Smith cannot save you. The Archangel Michael cannot save you. Pope Leo cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. His name is Jesus. He's the only one who can save us from our sins. So trust him today. Because the fourth and the final thing that's important to understand, why does this matter? Because not only does God love you, he can forgive you, he can save you, but he can take you to heaven when you die. And that is the greatest news of all. Why did Jesus go through all of this? Because he wants to spend eternity with us. Because he loves us. The Bible says he wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now, look, I don't know anyone. I've never met anyone who says, you know what? I really want to go to hell. I've never met anyone who said that. I really want to go to hell. I've heard other people say that to other people, okay? Nasty. But I've never heard somebody say that. But yet I have heard many people say, I think I'm going to heaven. And it always makes me wonder, why do you think that? On what basis? And most people don't even know. So let me clear it up for you. I'm going to quote what Jesus said, and I'm going to warn you in advance. This is a very exclusive claim, what he said, okay? But he makes it inclusive to all who would believe, to anyone. And here's what he said in John 14, 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, nobody gets to the Father, gets to heaven, except through me. That's what he said. That's why we can't all be right when you look at the spectrum of world religions. It's impossible to logically say all paths lead to God. Well, then you're calling Jesus a liar because Jesus made an exclusive claim. He said, the only way to God, the only way to heaven is through me. He didn't say, I am a way among many. He didn't say, I am one truth among whatever your truth is. You know how that goes these days. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody's going to get to heaven except through me. But yet he extends the invitation to anyone who would believe and receive so that you can know your sins are forgiven and go to heaven when you die. So if you believe this whole Easter, why it matters to you, that Jesus loves you, came to earth to die for you, rose from the dead, he was the atoning sacrifice for your sins and my sins, the perfect sacrifice, laying down his life. If you believe him, then trust him today as your Savior. Have your sins forgiven and be saved. And I'm going to end where I started from John chapter 20. In that story in John chapter 20, do you remember Mary Magdalene was a primary person in that story? And the Bible says that Mary Magdalene gets to that tomb early Sunday morning, not because she was expecting to see the risen Lord. She was just like the other disciples. She went there to anoint and perfume the corpse of Jesus. Okay? Jesus dies, and when he's crucified and he dies so close to sunset, they have to quickly bury him. But then on the Jewish calendar, there is a sacred Sabbath followed by a regular Sabbath. And so Sunday morning is the first opportunity that anyone has to go to properly anoint the body of Jesus. So there Mary is. Early Sunday morning. She is called Mary Magdalene because she is from a small village on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee called Magdala. Friends, they've only uncovered Magdala like 15 years ago. When I lead tours to Israel, we've only been going there like the last 10 years. They didn't even know where Magdala was. Now they know. The Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene, a few years earlier, had this wonderful encounter with Jesus in the course of Jesus ministering to people. And Mark 16, verse 9 says that Mary Magdalene was someone from whom Jesus cast out seven demons. She had been possessed by seven demons before she met Jesus. How many of you understand one demon is one too many, right? She had seven demons. We do not know what caused her to be possessed by these seven demons. Some, you read some Bible commentaries and they suspect that maybe she had been a prostitute, okay? Maybe. There's no biblical evidence for that. But whether she was a prostitute or not, when she met Jesus, she finally met a man for the first time who didn't want to use her, abuse her, or take anything from her. She, for the first time, met a man who wanted to give her something she had never known. Unconditional love, forgiveness, deliverance. So, she became a follower of his. No wonder she was the first one who ran to the tomb that morning. Because the Bible says, if you've been forgiven much, you love much. She loved him. Not in some twisted romantic way like modern writers try to talk about Mary Magdalene and Jesus. That's blasphemy. She had a pure love for her Savior because when she met him, he completely transformed her life. He completely changed her life. Of course she's going to be the first one there. In fact, the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, say that other women accompanied her. But do you know that Mary Magdalene is the only one mentioned in all four Gospels as being there at the tomb? The only one. At some point, she either gets there first or she has an alone moment because Mark 16:9 also says that Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene before he appeared to anyone else. But when she first saw him, she didn't even recognize him. Remember? She didn't even recognize him. Now, probably for the same reasons the disciples. Maybe she was in such grief that she just lost hope and perspective, and she's distraught. She thinks the body of Jesus has been stolen. Plus, the Bible says she was weeping. So you know how hard it is to see and when you have tears in your eyes. So she's having this conversation with Jesus briefly. She thinks he's the gardener of the cemetery. When did she recognize him? It was when he called her by name. It was when he said her name. He said, Mary. And then she heard that familiar voice of love and grace and forgiveness, and she knew instantly, this is my Savior, this is my Lord. I'm convinced God still does the same thing today. There are some of you that he's calling by name right now. If you would stop, just stop long enough to listen to that still small voice. Because he's still changing lives today. He's still transforming people just like he did Mary Magdalene. And thousands of people since. And he can change your life today too. If you would humble yourself and surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. And if you would just tune your ears to hear the still small voice of the Lord, you may very well hear him calling your name, and if you do, then you're going to finally see him. See him for who he is, the Savior who loves you, gave his life for you. Please don't leave here wondering if you're right with God. Know that you are. By surrendering your life to his Lordship, give your life to Jesus. He gave his life for you 2,000 years ago, hanging on that cross. So in just a minute, I'm going to give you an invitation. If you want to know Christ as your Savior, if you want to get right with the Lord, stop playing games. Get right with him today. In just a moment, when I give the invitation, you're going to be able to slip out of your seat and come stand down front here with me. And whoever's standing down front here, I'm going to lead you in a collective word of prayer to trust Christ and invite him into your heart as Lord and Savior. Now, you might be saying, well, I don't feel comfortable walking in front of all these people. Why do I have to do that? First of all, as soon as you do, everybody's going to applaud for you because they want to celebrate with you this greatest moment in your life. But here's why it's important for you to publicly get out of your seat and be courageous enough to come down here and say, I need Jesus. Because here's the fact, everybody. If you cannot profess Jesus in a comfortable place where people will applaud you, you will never be able to live for him outside the walls of this church. He died publicly. He took on your shame, your guilt, your sin, and mine too. And all he says is, I want you to come to me openly and publicly and unashamed. Why don't you trust him today as your Lord and Savior? And know that when you leave here today, your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven when you die. And God can completely transform your life. Would you come? I want to make it easy for people who want to walk. Could I ask everybody quietly to stand, please? Just come now. You want to receive Christ? Get out from your seat. Come and stand down here right now. If you're in the overflow rooms, come now. Leave the overflow rooms and come and stand down here. God bless you guys. Come on down here. God bless you guys. Come on. Come on right in here. God bless you guys. Just come now, y'all. Walk now. Don't leave here with regrets. Don't think to yourself, I wish I had gone forward. Come now. Join these folks who have already walked forward. Again, if you're in the overflow rooms, come now. Leave the cafe. Leave the chapel. Come here to the sanctuary. We'll wait for you. We're going to sing a song. While we're singing, you can keep walking. Come on, let's worship the Lord. God bless you guys. Come on in here.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by
God bless
the
you. Come on.
Sin?
God bless Jesus you. Come on down here.
Calling.
If he's calling you, come now.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus
is calling you.
Oh, come to the altar.
Praise the Lord.
The Father's arms are open wide.
Come on forward.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on, brother. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, we'll wait for you. God bless you. Come on. We're going to sing this song just one more time. This is an opportunity for you to come. But listen, don't come if you don't want to. Seriously, I don't want anyone to feel forced, coerced, manipulated. You should come freely because God loves you freely. He invites you freely. So you come now. We're going to sing this song one more time. You come if the Lord's leading you.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms,
his arms are open wide.
Forgiveness was born.
Yes.
The precious blood of
thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these who have walked forward. Thank you, Lord, for those who have made a decision to trust you today. Is there anyone else who wants to join them before I lead this group in a word of prayer? Please come now if you do. We'll wait just a few seconds. I want to make sure no one is left out. This prayer that you're about to pray is the most important prayer you've ever prayed. This is the most important decision you've ever made. This is for all eternity. When you're done praying this prayer, okay, who's coming? Are you guys tricking me? Is someone actually coming? All right, come on. Are you coming down here? All right. We'll wait for you. Come on, guys. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. Good job. Good job. Good job. One of the services earlier, I was halfway through the prayer and people started walking. I had to start the prayer over again. Come on. God bless you guys. When you're all done praying this prayer, all right. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. You're just in time. I only have two more services, everybody. So come on. Come now if you want to come. when you pray this prayer, after you're done praying this prayer with me, it means your sins are forgiven because the Lord Jesus forgives us when we come to him humbly and we ask him to forgive us of our sins. I'm about to sit down. All right. God bless you guys. Come on. Thank you for coming forward. When you pray this prayer, okay, wait. Are you leaving, ma'am, or are you coming down this way? Because I just want to wait. If you're coming, all right, you guys come. And you're coming too. All right, come on. Come on. God bless you, man, for coming. God bless you. When you pray this prayer, your sins will be forgiven, not because I say so, but because the Bible says so. Your hearts will be cleansed. No matter what you've ever done, said, or thought, will be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus will come into your life and change you and make you a new person and take you to heaven when you die. Whatever day that is, you're on your way to heaven because of a relationship in Jesus, not because of any good about any of us. There is none good in us. But it is righteousness that is imputed to us through faith. And that's why when we'll stand before the Lord one day, he'll say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, because he sees the righteousness of his son, not ours. We have none. So I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer, and I'm going to go slowly enough that I want you to repeat this after me. And I want you to be loud and proud about this, okay? Don't be bashful. Pray this out loud with me, all right? Here we go. Pray this. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I thank you that you love me so much. You died on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sins.
Cleanse my heart.
Make me a new person.
I trust you, Jesus,
as my Lord and Savior.
I confess with my mouth,
Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead
that I might be saved.
Save me now, Jesus.
I surrender my life to you.
In your name I pray.
And everybody here said, amen and amen. Come on, church, let's give God some praise in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
All right, now listen, before you leave, we want to give you a Bible. So all the pastors are going to mingle amongst you and give you a Bible. Even if you have one, take it as our gift. There's instructions in there about next steps so you can grow in your walk with Jesus. Okay, so don't leave until you get a Bible. As soon as you get a Bible, you can go back to your seats. Pastors, we need over here. And then listen, hey, folks, don't try to beat the traffic. Seriously, there's going to be traffic no matter what. I want to make sure online people who prayed that prayer also get a Bible. You can text, I have decided, to 703-844-9969, and then we'll mail you a Bible anywhere around the world. We have one last song worship team is going to sing on the way out. So God bless you. Happy Easter. Let's worship the Lord one last time.
God, I know that what you promised, yeah, will be better than I thought. 'Cause you will finish what you started. Resurrection's who you are. It's who you are. We're not 3 days away from an empty grave. Another star is rolling in the room right now. It's you right now. A new right now. Another star is rolling in the room right now. It's you right now. A new right now. Another star is rolling.
Jesus, come and move in power. Oh, miracles are what you do. And if you said it, I expect it. Oh, it's an easy thing for you.
Not 3 days away from an empty grave. Another stone is rolling in the room right now. Is it you right now? I need you right now. Another stone is rolling in the room right now. Is it you right now? I need you right now. Another stone is rolling in the room right now. Is it you right now? I need you right now. Another stone is rolling.
Thank you all for coming to worship with us here at Cornerstone. We hope you have a great Easter weekend. God bless you all. Josh likes it. Here we go.
Till I give all the snow, it was rolled away. If you're looking for the old me, it's long gone. No, I'm not the same. If you're looking for the snow,